This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
The world's largest animal health company plans to seek U.S. approval for their PEDV vaccine. Zoetis plans to seek approval by the end of the year, and if approved, would rival the only vaccine available so far. A company official told shareholders this week they will seek a conditional license from the USDA, according to a Reuters report. The license would allow the company to sell the vaccine directly to hog farmers while it conducts further tests. USDA in June granted conditional approval to privately held Harris Vaccines to sell farmers the first vaccine against PEDV. Still, veterinarians have warned outbreaks will likely surge this fall and winter because the virus thrives in cold weather. PEDV, or porcine epidemic diarrhea virus, has killed about 13% of the U.S. hog herd. The fast-moving virus has killed an estimated 8 million piglets since it was first identified in the U.S. last year, pushing U.S. pork prices to record highs. More concentration, less competition. That's the way one U.S. senator is seeing the latest proposed consolidation in the meat processing industry. Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley is asking the Justice Department to heavily scrutinize the proposed Tyson Foods acquisition of Hillshire Brands.
I'm concerned about how this could increase concentration and consequently decrease competition in U.S. pork. It could also have an impact on consumer choice and maybe even on the price of consumer products like pork.
Grassley says meat processing is already highly concentrated. The top four pork producers already control 60% of the processing, and Tyson is the largest U.S.-based meat processor.
Independent and small producers have been to my office lately expressing their concerns about this merger. They fear that Tyson could engage in the practice of tie-in sale of sows with market hogs. In addition, there could be significantly reduced competition and market access for slaughter sows.
He says the industry trend towards more concentration and less competition continues.
That is bad for both consumer and I'm particularly worried about producers. I've worked to empower an agriculture perspective and expertise inside the antitrust division of the Justice Department for instances like this.
Grassley wants the department to take a hard look at the impact the Tyson-Hillshire merger could have on consumers and producers before allowing acquisition to proceed. CHS in Pocahontas will host their annual open house event on August 14th from 4 to 8 p.m. CHS invites not only their customers, but anyone in the community to attend. They invite people to take this opportunity to tour their facility, speak with staff, and enjoy a complimentary meal. Again, that will be at CHS in Pocahontas from 4 to 8 p.m. on August 14th. The majority of the U.S. annual corn harvest is put into storage. Whenever a bumper crop is expected, the question pops up, where will it all be stored? Todd Gleason has more.
The question is really not so much where will the corn be stored, but who will own it while it is being stored. University of Illinois ag economist Darrell Good weighed this problem in his July 29th weekly outlook. You can find it on the Farm Doc Daily website. Here's how Good lays out the problem. He says that portion of the crop that has not been sold can be sold at harvest for someone else to store, or the producer can store the crop either on the farm or in commercial facilities. For the portion of the crop stored by the producer, the second question is whether the stored crop should be priced for later delivery or held unpriced.
That decision is influenced by the magnitude of the carry in the corn market, the cost of storage, and expectations about the change in corn prices. For corn that is stored and priced for later delivery, the price for later delivery obviously needs to exceed the cost of storage. For forward cash sales, the difference between the forward bids for alternative delivery dates and the spot bid can be compared to the cost of storage to determine the net returns to storage.
Let's deal first with basis. This is the difference between the price offered for corn in the lead month futures contract and the local cash bid.
Basis levels and basis patterns vary considerably by location, so that an example of the likely returns to storage that is representative of all locations is not possible. In central Illinois, our average harvest bids on July 25th were 31 cents under December futures. With a July-December spread of nearly 27 cents, the average harvest bid was 58 cents under July 2015 futures. If that basis is near negative 10 cents in mid-June 2015, as it was this year, then the market is offering about 48 cents return for corn that is hedged and stored from harvest until mid-June next year.
With interest cost of about 11 cents, that's the value of the crop multiplied by the value of time, otherwise known as interest on the value, the return to storage is positive if the storage costs are less than 37 cents. That's per grain stored in the elevator where the costs are higher, says Darrell Good.
With out-of-pocket on-farm storage costs likely to be considerably less than 37 cents for most producers, there is very strong incentive to fully utilize the on-farm storage capacity.
So the corn market is currently encouraging farmers to store the crop. This decision could be made now with forward sales or by hedging in the futures market. However, Darrell Good says the opportunities today are unlikely to disappear anytime soon, so long as the crop expectations for corn remain big. Really, the question then is whether or not to act on the sale. Good doesn't think so. He says the big crop year patterns tend to bottom prices in the fall and then to build higher into the spring. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
That's all for this afternoon's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.